So lately, I keep finding myself going back to the story of Joseph, but there's a lot in the story of Joseph. Or, you know, there was his dreams and the trials, his mistreatment, his rise to power, and the hand of God was with him the whole time. But what's kind of on my mind tonight is how Joseph was, he was faithful whenever there was nobody watching still. Most of Joseph's life wasn't lived in the palace. It was lived in those quiet places or those painful places. Before he was ever exalted in public, he had already proved himself faithful. Before he was honored among men, he had learned to walk with God. So I'd like to do a reading from Genesis chapter 39. And if somebody else wants to talk, there will most likely be time. So Genesis 39, and I'm just going to start at verse 2, just a couple verses here and a few more later on. Genesis 39 and 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. These verses come after not long after Joseph had been sold a slave. He was far from home, he was separated from his family, he was stripped of his liberty. As far as we would say, he had everything taken from him. Yet one thing had not changed. The Lord was with Joseph. And that's the great truth of chapter 39 that we find. Despite Joseph's circumstances changing, the presence of God in his life never changed. There was no family with him besides him. He had no earthly comforts, no public recognition, but he still had the Lord with him. As the chapter continues in Potiphar's house, he's given responsibility over practically everything. He's diligent and he's trustworthy. He makes sure to be careful in all that he does, and Potiphar places everything under his care. Joseph was a faithful man, not because he was praised, but because he had a fear for God, a fear of God. But then at verse 9, temptation comes into his life. And he says, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back any things from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph's concern in this situation wasn't simply about being caught or losing his position because of it. It wasn't even about going against Potiphar. Joseph saw the matter for what it truly was. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's integrity. And that's faithfulness. Joseph wasn't standing before a crowd. He had no audience before him. There was no group of believers with him when this happened. No one there to applaud this decision that he made. This was a test for Joseph. And he proved his faithfulness clearly. And yet, while Joseph did what was right, he was still made to suffer. He had resisted this temptation put before him, and he was still falsely accused. He had honored God and was still thrown into the prison. I know some could read this and wonder, what is the use of being faithful when this is the outcome? The scripture will soon give us the reason why. Further down in verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. We hear it here again. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him in the house and he's with him in the prison. He was with him when he was in service and he's with him now while he's suffering. Joseph's place in life had changed, but the presence of God continued to stay with him. This is something we should all take comfort in. There are seasons in all of our lives where faithfulness can seem unnoticed. There's the times when obedience can bring misunderstanding rather than appreciation. All of us will make choices sometimes in private, secret battles fought in our own hearts, our prayers offered in quietness, sacrifices only known to us and to the Lord. Not all service, not all faithfulness is public. Not all faithfulness is seen by others. People serve the Lord in many ways, and a lot of them can go unnoticed. Some people just offer that word of encouragement in private. Some are bearing their own burdens silently. Some resist temptations that nobody else ever knows that they face. And all of us continue to go on praying, giving, helping, trying to endure. And a lot of us won't receive any kind of recognition for what we do other than from the Lord, because the Lord sees all. Joseph's own greatness didn't begin in Pharaoh's house. Joseph's greatness began in those hidden places. It was all seen in the way he worked, the way he governed himself, the way he responded whenever sin was presented before him. Joseph was always faithful, even when nobody saw. Make no mistake, his faithfulness, though, didn't always lead directly to relief. For a time, it led to deeper trials for Joseph. Lied about, imprisoned, forgotten, but heaven had not forgotten him. If we flip over to Psalms for a minute, Psalm 105. Psalm 105, starting at verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that the word came, the word of the Lord tried him. This is God's view of Joseph's suffering. What men meant for evil against him, God was overruling for good. Joseph's afflictions were not wasted. His trial wasn't meaningless. God was preparing his servant. Every painful step was under God's divine control. We don't always understand what God is doing in the present moment. But God is never absent. He's never careless. And God never makes a mistake. Trials may be real, and pain might be sharp, but God's purpose is always being worked out. And like all things in Scripture, Joseph's story points well beyond Joseph himself. In Joseph, we see one who was upright and yet suffered unjustly, one who was faithful and yet rejected. We see one who endured wrong, though he had done no wrong. And that's why Joseph is a beautiful picture, if only a partial one, of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, it says, 1 Peter 2 and 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Joseph was the foreshadow of Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ was that perfect fulfillment. Joseph was faithful in secret, and Christ was perfectly faithful in all things. Joseph's suffering, while unjust, was a mere shadow to Christ's suffering that was infinitely more. Joseph was eventually remembered and exalted, but Christ first went to the cross before entering into his glory. Our Lord Jesus walked the loneliest path of all, misunderstood, rejected, and falsely accused, then crucified. Yet in every step, he committed himself to God that judges righteously. And he didn't merely endure that suffering as an example, he endured it to save us all. Which is why when obedience to God's word can feel costly to us, when faithfulness can feel lonely, and whenever your labors for the Lord might seem unnoticed, we need to remember we're walking in the path of the Savior himself. The Lord's people, many of us, like I said, serve quietly. Burdens carried and never spoken aloud. And must just remember that while others might not acknowledge these things, the Lord knows all. In Galatians 6 and 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Joseph's life should still speak to us now and remind us, be faithful in those quiet places. Pardon me. Be holy in those unseen hours. Be obedient, even if it might cost you. And when it feels like nobody knows what's going on, remember that the Lord always knows. Joseph was faithful when no one saw. May the Lord help us all to do the same.